Krishna Sharana Andana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tida Vanachari. Jamuna Tida Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Thari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Thari. Jashara Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jashadanandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Chunati Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Padamansa Paribraja Kacharja Stotara Satashi Shimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Samsthapaka Charja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kunuradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Navadip Tham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Jamuna Mayi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ete hi Abhyutita Deva Naiva Asyotapane Ashokan Punar Avibishu Kani Tam Uttapayutam Kramat Ete Abhyutita Deva Naivasyotapaneshakan Punar Avivishu Kani Tamuttapayitum Kramat Eteya bhyutita deva. Naivasyotapaneshakan. Punar avibhishu kani. Tamuttapayitum kramat. Eteya bhyutita deva. Naivasyotapaneshakan. Punar avibhishu kani. Tamuttapayitum kramat. Eteya bhyutita deva. Naivasyotapaneshakan. Vishukani Tamutapayatum Kramat. Ladies. Eteya Bhyutita Deva. Naivasyotapaneshakan. Punaravi Vishukani. Anutapayatum kramat.
Eteya bhyutita deva. Naivasyotapaneshakan. Punaravishukani. Anutapayatum kramat.
These, he indeed, abhyutita, manifested, deva, demigods, na, not, eva, at all, asya, of the virat purusha, uttapane, in waking, ashokan, were able, Punaha, again. Avivishu, they entered. Kani, the apertures of the body. Tam, him. Uttapayitum, to awaken. Kramat, one after another. When the demigods and presiding deities of the various senses were thus manifested, they wanted to wake the origin of, to wake their origin of appearance. But upon failing to do so, they re-entered the body of the Virat Purusha, one after another, in order to wake him. Purport. In order to wake the sleeping deity controller within, one has to rechannel the sense activities from concentration on the outside to concentration inside. In the following verses, the sense activities which are required to wake the Virat Purusha will be explained very nicely. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kodamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandehang Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Svadvaitam, Svabhutam, Pradishana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Shahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakandatamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Prishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindho Bhyayeva Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ete habhutita, maybe this is too low now, deva, naivas yottapane shakan, punar abhivishu kani, tam uttapaitam kramat. Yeah, that's good now. Thank you. We'll find in the subsequent verses that the senses and the demigods controlling them, having been created, they tried to awaken the Virat Purusha. Virat Purusha is the form of the personality of Godhead in terms of the manifest cosmic manifestation. So they, after trying to awaken them, they entered within his body. There are different holes in the body. The ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, genitals, anus. So the different presiding deities and senses entered into the universal form. But he didn't wake up. It wasn't enough that, all right, now the eyes are there, now the ears are there, now the tongue is there. That wasn't sufficient. So he didn't awaken. But finally, consciousness entered. That's the... so many things entered. But then, the deity presiding over consciousness entered. Then the Virat Purusha awakened. Consciousness is the essential element. In the Bhagavad Gita, Bhutanam Asmi Chaitana. Among the living beings, Krishna says, I'm consciousness. Without consciousness, the body is a dead body. The Virat Purusha is the larger version of the individual body. We have our small bodies, and Krishna has the greatest body. Of course, his body, real body, is spiritual, Satchidananda Vigraha. But he appears as the universal form, the cosmic material body. So he has the greatest body. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's said that this Virat Purusha is more or less imaginary, that it's not actually Krishna's form. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. Krishna's originally completely transcendental to this material world. His body has nothing to do with the demigods, the material elements, the senses, the material energy. He's beyond all of these things. But in order for us to be able to understand the personality of Godhead, his he's first conceived as the universal form. And this is a step forward for the materialists. We find that there are many materialists who are devoted to material nature. The scientists are very much impressed by the wonders of nature, how smart DNA is, how great the stars are. Similarly, there are many nature worshippers. I just came from Honolulu, where they're devoted to the sun and the surf. Elsewhere, they're devoted to some other manifestation, you know, the mountains, how great the mountains are. There are clubs and societies dedicated to nature. And practically speaking, for the generation that came of age in the 60s, the established national religion is ecology. You know, you may be Christian or Hindu or, you know, whatever you want. That's not so important. But the one thing that we can all agree on is that we all respect nature. We all love nature. We're all children of nature and so on. So we're all big nature lovers. Now kids want to grow up. What do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I'd like to be an ecologist. Nature. So that's all right. But then the question should be, whose nature? Whose nature? Oh, why do you have to say whose nature? Why does there have to be anybody owning nature? Prabhupada gave this argument that there's Mother Nature, we all know, and we're all the children, children of nature. So there must be a father. There's a mother, there are children. What kind of stupid idea is it that there's no father? There must be a father, and that's Krishna. Anyway, for the nature lovers who have not yet come to the point of accepting a personality of Godhead, a transcendent supreme Lord, all right, then you see nature as God. If for you nature is the supreme, then all right, here's nature understood as the supreme being. As we're all little, small beings, so there's a great being, a cosmic being. That's the Virat Purusha. Then by respecting the form of the personality of the cosmos, that great personality of the cosmos, one can go a small step further and see that personality in his transcendental existence. This is explained in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So whether we're dealing with the small living being or the great living being, the essential element is consciousness. Without consciousness, the body doesn't do anything. The body doesn't do anything. The body without consciousness is a dead body or a body that was never alive, just like this table. It has no consciousness. So you'll never get life out of it. Although they try. The scientific project, one scientific project, is to try to get life out of chemicals. That's a serious scientific project. But it will never happen. It will never happen. It's not that you take inert material elements and cook them and consciousness comes into existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that na jayate na mriyate va kadachit. consciousness never comes into existence. And it never ceases to exist. Na jayate namriyate va kadachit. Nayam putva bhavita va nabuya. Ajo, it has no birth. Nitya, it's eternal. Shashvata, imperishable. Ajo nityam shashvatoyam purano. And very old. So old that you can't trace. Nahangyate angyamane shirire. Now, for the soul, there's no birth and there's no death. Or soul, consciousness, atma, whatever you want to say. You'll not be able to cook it up by any amount of material concoction. Oh, this is the essential element within the body. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture at MIT in Boston. And this was the point. He said, you have so many departments of study. Engineering department, this department, that department. But where's the department to understand the essential element within the body? That essential element is consciousness. And consciousness is practically ignored. Although now they have projects now, MIT. They want to create consciousness by computer. Or replicate it. Double it. Mirror it. Create a computer that's so well programmed that it mimics consciousness. And since consciousness is just a sequence of material events, if you can mimic it, you've got it. You can make a conscious computer, artificial intelligence. That project is doing badly, by the way, these days. It hasn't done as well as they'd hoped. It's turning out to be a lot more complicated than expected, at least than expected by them. We expected it to be quite a difficult project. That is to say, you'll never get consciousness. You may get the appearance of consciousness, but you don't get consciousness. This is called Maya. Maya means you have the appearance of something, but you don't really have the thing. You have the appearance of water out in the desert, but you don't really have water. You just have an appearance. Now they've got they may construct the appearance of consciousness. Oh, the machine can play chess. It's smarter than the world champion. But it actually doesn't know what it's doing. It doesn't have self-awareness. It only has the ability to move a number from one slot to another slot. That's all a computer does. Computer instructions say, take this number from this address and move it to that address. Now take this number from that address, add it to that number and put it in this address. That's what computers do. And they do it very fast. And you can get all sorts of fancy things out of that. But when you get down to the base level, that's what they're doing. Or as Sataputta Prabhu points out, what you're really doing is, further down the line, you're saying, okay, you've got this much electric current at this point. Now make it that much electric current. When it's this much, it's a zero. When it's that much, it's a one. So you've got all these little addresses with this much current or that much current, this much current or that much current. And, like flipping a lot of switches, you'll get all the lights on, you'll get all the lights off. You get all the lights on, you get all the lights off. You get half the lights on, you get half the lights off. But that doesn't mean you have consciousness. Consciousness is a different thing. And it's escaping them. And what to speak of the Supreme Consciousness? Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishram. Aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahoitakam. This is a description of the demonic mentality. They imagine that everything is going on just by
attraction of different material substances, like sex life, the way a male is attracted to female. So protons are attracted to electrons or whatever you have. And all these forces are what's making everything go. But in fact, consciousness is required for the intricate workings of the material world. And they're working very hard to get rid of that supreme consciousness because they don't want to serve the supreme consciousness. If there's a supreme consciousness, we must have a relationship with that supreme consciousness. And oh my God, it might turn out to be service. And I don't want to be a servant, period. I want to be an independent, free-thinking, free-willed individual, able to realize my full potential and do everything I want to do. But you accept the supreme consciousness or not, he always has the upper hand. For all your independence, material nature comes and swats you, and that's it. Mr. Free-thinking, independent, full-potential individual. A little swat from material nature and you're crippled or dead. And what power do you have? Therefore, everyone is controlled. No one can say, I'm independent. Avasham prakritaravashat. We're being helplessly controlled by material nature. I'm not controlled? Oh, then don't get old. Huh? I won't get old. Go ahead, do it. Refuse. I won't die. I won't go to the toilet. Huh? You're forced. I'm sorry, it's a very undignified thing and I refuse to do it. No, you must. We're helplessly under control of material nature. And material nature is also controlled. Hetunanena kontiya jagat viparivartate. Mayad yakshena, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, material nature is working under my direction. And all the living, moving and non-moving beings are working under her direction. Hetu nanena. Hetu means cause. Asatyam apratishtam te. Kimanyat kama hoitukam. The demons say, no cause. It just is, just happening. Or else it doesn't even exist. It's all an illusion. But it exists. And there's a cause. Everything in our experience has a cause. The earthquake occurred because of the movement of this, the movement of that occurred because of this, then that happened because of this, this, this. Everything has a cause. And the original cause is Krishna. Sarvakarana Karana. I was reading in one of Siddhanta Prabhu's memory books, I think Giriraj Maharaj was saying that they challenge that how do we know that the original person is Krishna? Why not someone before Krishna? If you say Krishna is the cause of everything, who's the cause of Krishna? Prabhupada gave the answer that as far as we have information, Krishna is the original person. If you have someone else, then bring him forward. But as far as we have information, Krishna is the original person. Otherwise, bring your candidate. So we accept from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Brahma Sangita, Sarva Karana Karana, Ishra Parama Krishna, the supreme controller. Everyone's a controller to some extent. I'm a little controller. George Bush is a big controller. The bigger controllers are still there. Brahma. When you get to the greatest controller, that's Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. And his real form is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Anadi, he has no origin, but he's the origin of everything. Anadir Adir Govinda. And he's the real object for the senses. As Srila Prabhupada points out here, we're busy exercising our senses outwardly. But the senses should be turned inward. Antir Jyotir Jyoti Abhya. One should look within. If we look within, we'll find consciousness. If we meditate, if we consider, then we'll see that, I have my legs and arms and ears and all my senses. But finally, who am I? I'm not my ear, I'm not my tongue, I'm not my this or that. I'm the consciousness within the body. And looking further, I'm not the supreme consciousness. I'm getting direction from some superior source of knowledge, information, inspiration. And that's Krishna. So in this way, one has to become thoughtful and try to understand oneself as the individual spark of consciousness and the supreme consciousness, Krishna. Krishna consciousness. That will be our success. And after understanding the supreme consciousness, then serving the supreme consciousness. Of course, this is the philosophical method of approach. Otherwise, the entire process can be accelerated simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By the chanting process, the individual consciousness comes directly in touch with the supreme consciousness. One gets direct experience, prachakshabhagamam dharmyam, susukam kartamaviyam. One becomes joyful. And it's not very difficult, easy. So, therefore, an intelligent person should take up Krishna consciousness and make his life successful. Hare Krishna. Some questions? Even if they produce consciousness, that consciousness should stand the test of staying eternal. Of course, who's going to be around to see whether it passes the test? But the first thing is that it should it has no self-consciousness. There's a professor at Berkeley, Dr. Searle. He's given a very nice argument against these people. He's said that suppose you have a room with full of people sitting at desks, and their business is that through the right door all these little papers come with Chinese characters on them. And at every desk a paper comes, and the person there has a set of rules, and he transforms this letter into that letter, this symbol into that symbol. So at the other side of the room, it comes out English. It's all assembled, and it comes out English the other side. It's Chinese in one way, English out the other way. Because you have all these people at desks just following the rules and turning one into another. Now, does that room understand Chinese? Does it understand anything? No. Simply according to some logical operations, some fixed transformations, this becomes this, this becomes this, this becomes this, this becomes this. But nobody understands anything other than the little thing. I take this and I make it that. Mechanical operations. So the individual person there doesn't understand Chinese. The totality of those persons together doesn't understand Chinese. Expand it to include the room with all of its walls and desks and everything, the whole system, it doesn't understand Chinese. It looks like you've got consciousness, because in came the Chinese and out came the English. That's what a conscious person does. You know, if I know Chinese and I know English, you speak to me in Chinese and I'll translate it. That's what consciousness. I can do it. Yeah, that they can't reproduce. I actually understand Chinese. If you say, you know, the girl comes up to me and tells me in Chinese, I love you. Oh, my God. You know, I understood it. I start running. But when the Chinese characters come into that room with people at desks, nothing. No consciousness. Yes.
So, this is another point. You know, we're hearing the Bhagavatam, the last chapter here, that, well, in one sense, you just mentioned at the beginning that in the first canto I described it, it's just a figurative type of understanding. But still, we understand it is the energy of Krishna. So, if someone actually becomes an ecologist and they really dedicate their life, which a lot of people do, to the, you know, the pollution and the trees and you know, animal life, whatever, is there some, do they acquire some piety, some pious credit, or do they?
Material nature is the energy of Krishna. So, if someone dedicates himself to ecology, the trees, reducing pollution, does he acquire some pious credit? Not particularly. It's not that because I'm dealing with the material energy and trying to do something to protect it, I'm necessarily making advancement in spiritual life. Let's take gold, for example, or maybe more in current consciousness, petroleum, for example. It's not that because I'm trying to accumulate as much petroleum as possible, and because petroleum is Krishna's energy, I'm therefore Krishna conscious and making spiritual advancement. That because I'm sending soldiers over to a foreign country to grab petroleum, I'm now pious because petroleum is Krishna's energy. Sita is Krishna's energy, but it's not that Ravana became pious by trying to use or enjoy Krishna's energy. It's not that these ecologists are trying to preserve Krishna's energy for Krishna's enjoyment. It's for their enjoyment. Why is the ecological movement not against, in general, against animal killing? Why is the Sierra Club and all of these other, you know, all the other big organizations, why are they not against animal killing? Because a very large component of these ecological groups are hunters. You know, they're woodsmen, they're hunters, they're people who go out and shoot deer and so on. It's not that they're out there in the environment just for the sake of the environment. It's their own sense gratification. I like to fish, I like to hunt, I like to kill.
What about the constant Prabhupada says that if one is like a very simple person and they go out to the country and they work to till the soil, they just live a very humble life and they realize the conception of God?
Yes, they live a humble life, a simple life out in the country tilling the soil. Of course, yes. If they actually live, but you know, what do? They go out to the country, they have a little farm, they kill chickens, they milk the cow until she's old, and then they shoot it. So this is not exactly a life of piety. Or even the people who just want, you know, they're not hunters, they're not fishers, they're just, you know, want to preserve the beauty of nature. But why do they want to preserve it? For their own enjoyment, or the enjoyment of their children. It's not out of appreciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So maybe little piety there, that, you know, it's certainly more pious to want to preserve the stream than to pour garbage in it. But that's not very pious. It's not terribly pious that all you, that you just want to, that you don't throw garbage all around or that you pick up the garbage. Very little. And even suppose we say, oh, it's pious. Let's say, it's, you know, the ecologists are pious somehow or other. Let's, you know, they go out into the forest and do their little cookouts of God knows, we do know what, but we won't say. But let's say somehow or other we consider them pious. But chanting Hare Krishna is miles beyond pious activities. Therefore, one of the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy name is to think that pious activities and chanting Hare Krishna are somehow on the same level. There's an enormous difference between mundane piety and transcendental devotional service to the absolute truth. A huge difference. Hare Krishna. Yes. What does it mean, the one who's fully conversant with the science of Krishna can attain Krishna or attain the supreme perfection? What does fully conversant mean? Fully means as far as possible. Actually, Prabhupada said that at fully conversant, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. I'm the servant of Krishna. My business is to fully engage myself in devotional service. That's fully conversant. Yomam eva masam mudho janati purushottamam sa sarva vid bhajati imam sarva bhavena parata. Krishna says that if one knows me without any doubt, asam mudha, with conviction, no doubt, that Krishna is purushottam, the supreme personality of Godhead, then sa sarva vid, he knows everything. Krishna is everything. If you know Krishna as he is, then you know everything. So sarva vid. And if you know Krishna, if you actually know everything, what do? Bhajati imam. Engage in devotional service to Krishna. How? Sarva bhavena. In transcendental ecstasy. Anyone engaged in that way, he's fully conversant. Not the professor at the university. If there are professors at universities, you take any one of our devotees and outdistance him by miles running, and you know what they know about Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and what they know about various Gaudiya Vaishnavas at different historical times and what they, this, that, and the other thing. But they haven't yet taken it as their business in life to serve the personality of Godhead. So they're conversant in a different way, academically. Like the person who's conversant with honey by licking on the bottle. Yes?
This part of the Bhagavad Gita, it sounds like the Lord is manifesting the different demigods, you know, the different purposes that, eyes, ears, nose.
Manifest the demigods. Yeah, there are different accounts. Someplace in Bhagavatam it said that here we're reading that the demigods are manifest one after another from the universal form. And elsewhere we hear that they're manifest from the combination of Kashyap and Aditi. So that means that the thing is being seen from different angles of vision. The thing is being seen from different... It's a big thing to understand how the cosmos evolves or comes into existence. So it's being explained to us from different angles of vision, so our pea brains can understand it to some extent. Is that okay?
Does that mean that both are going on, but we are seeing only one aspect of it as a result of?
Yeah, it means our understanding is, our ability to understand it is very small. So we're told about it in different ways. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And that's very difficult to understand. I was wondering if you could say something.
The devotee is under the full protection of the Supreme Lord. It means that one who's fully devoted to Krishna ultimately goes back to Godhead. It doesn't mean our material body is going to be protected. We're all going to die, with or without Krishna. I mean, with Krishna, Krishna is there, but with Krishna consciousness, without Krishna consciousness, taking shelter, not taking shelter, we're all going to die. It's not that the pure devotees are going to have immortal material bodies. And it may not be natural death. Someone may shoot me on the streets of L.A. Krishna never guarantees, I'll protect your material body, no matter what. But the body can't be protected. Krishna actually guarantees. Jatasyahi dhruvo mrityor. For one who's taken his birth, death is certain. No exceptions. Few exceptions, but generally finished. But the soul has no birth or death. Pratijane priyoshime. Because you've taken shelter of me, you're dear to me, you'll come to me. Manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji mam namaskru. Mami vaishasi satyam te. Because you're always thinking of me, because you're my devotee, because you're engaged in my service and offering obeisances to me, you'll come to me. That's protection. Protection is like the material nature for the rat. Material nature is like the cat. Material nature is like the cat, and the rat, the materialist, feels the jaws of material nature as death. And the kitten feels the jaws of the cat as protection. So for a devotee, even if material nature is grabbing me by the teeth, it's Krishna's mercy. It's simply for my benefit so that I can get out of this material world and go back to Godhead.
So even if a devotee doesn't understand that?
Yeah, we may not understand. Just protection. Sometimes, in the political scene, there's some bodyguard who's protecting a big political figure, and all of a sudden the bodyguard comes and knocks the guy over. What kind of protection is that? You knocked me over? Oh, but some guy was there with a gun and was going to shoot you, and now you're down flat on the ground, you're safe. So it's not that protection is always patting somebody very gently and saying, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Sometimes, bam, knock the person you're protecting, knock them right down. Sometimes Krishna, to protect us, takes everything away from us. Yasyaham anugranami hadisheta dhanamshana. You were just about ready to get totally entangled in big money. And for your protection, Krishna took it all away. And now you're lamenting. But actually, it's Krishna's mercy. Yes?
I'd like to go back to the book that people are translating in Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Prabhupada says for an analogy to be effective, that like things have to be compared.
Yes? That's all they'll know.
The difference is the machine. And I kind of think it's something like us reciting Sanskrit every day. None of us know Sanskrit. But by
Let's make it better then. Let's take it that there are little scanners sitting on the desk, and they can recognize a Chinese character, and they're given a little program. Change this one into that one. And you've got desks. Each one of them has a scanner and a.
We're not involving consciousness of people at all.
No, let's take them out of the picture. Of course, that pollutes the example a little bit, because what we're trying to talk about is how computer science is a mess anyway. But let's say we do that. Let's make it machines. You know, that a machine can somehow or other see dot, 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 stroke, stroke, stroke. And that means this. Now, you really have consciousness there? Yes, as soon as you take the human element out, you don't have understanding. But even the human being, just taking them as little job doers, because that's the purpose of the analogy, they're just little mechanical units there. So they're just doing a job, but they don't understand. They don't understand the larger meaning of the thing, and they never will. So even if you think, you know, cells are smart or something like that, or chemicals are smart because they can do all these things, however smart they are, their consciousness is not there. Smart machines. Speaking of analogy, it's analogous. We say that a computer is smart because that's a way to explain things. Just like we say that a computer has a mouse. It doesn't mean that there's a little live rodent there, you know, passing stool on my mouse pad. You know, it's a comparison. It's something like a mouse, so we call it a mouse. A computer is something like smart, terrifyingly smart. But it doesn't have the essential element of smartness, self-awareness. So even a stupid kid is smarter in that sense than the most sophisticated supercomputer. Yes? Fetus has awareness. Yes. Yes, they have. They of course, according to Bhagavatam, they have. After a certain point, they have quite sophisticated thinking. Even when we don't know they're there, but consciousness is there. It may be just like the tree. The tree has consciousness. It's very limited, hemmed in. I like the light. I'm going to move to the light. I'm going to stick my branches that way. That's about, you know, and not even very with very deliberate mentation, but it just does it. But some consciousness is there. And, you know, the scientists have measured that if you approach a tree with a threatening mentality, the tree will feel it. And if you love your plants, they'll grow and so on. So there's consciousness, very rudimentary manifestation of consciousness, but it's there. Therefore, we see these transformations. Symptoms of consciousness, birth, growth, stays for some time, has some byproducts, dwindles, dies. These are signs that consciousness is present. All right. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai, Jai. Thank you very much.
Sorry about the volume.
Sorry? Oh, that's okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Amala, spotless.